Amen. Turn in your Bibles with us, if you would, tonight to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And we know that as we was in our men's group this week, we discussed some of the things that have happened and transpired this week. And as we look at things, we kind of see things not improving, but getting worse. Not getting better, but deteriorating. And tonight we want to look at just a few verses of Scripture and just give you what God's laid on our hearts. This morning as we preached, these are the two passages that God had laid on my heart for today. And as a chicken, Jesus said, he said, I would wanted to gather you as a hen does her chickens under his wings and keep you. He said, but you would not. He said, your house is left desolate. God gives us a free will and a free choice. He gives us free reign over the one thing that he's given us. That's our heart and our life. Let's turn tonight as we just read two verses of Scripture tonight, and I'm going to finish out the rest of the chapter as kind of maybe a little... I don't know how God leads it, but let's stand tonight as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Romans chapter number 1, and verses number 16 and 17, the apostle says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for the gospel message, Lord, that brings salvation to all who will hear it and all who will heed it and all who will believe it. We thank you tonight, God, that your word just reveals to us your power and your might. It reveals your goodness and your mercy, but it also tells us of your wrath and your judgment. Help us, Lord, tonight as we look to your word to be encouraged in you and to desire, Father, for your will and your way to be accomplished in every heart and every life as would be your will. Help us to be obedient to your word and to your spirit tonight. And lead us and direct us in all things in Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. This week we've seen some things on the ballots in our country, in our state especially. Some referendums that were voted upon. And it was just astounding to see what has happened. Our president stands and says, well, the people have spoken and the majority, but he needs to understand that we are a split nation. We're a split country. We're almost evenly divided. The only thing that separated the popular vote from the losing vote was a very, very small number. It's probably one of the closest elections this nation has ever seen. A nation that is so wholly divided that it's hard to comprehend how we've come to this place. We're divided not on economics and not on so many of the things that people think are important. We're divided on the issues of God's Word and so many things. We ask you to vote, as you left last week, to vote for the Lord, to vote for God. That's what our responsibilities and that's what our desires are. But instead, this week, we see that the overwhelming majority in a lot of places and a minor majority in some spots have voted their own way and their own will. But that doesn't change who my God is or what my God can do and what my God wants to do. Amen? Now, who needs to hear the gospel but people who are devoid of the truth of God's word? Amen? And it just proves to us that our job, our responsibility, our need in this world is even more real than what we had thought it would be. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I would rather just go on to heaven. I'd rather the Lord just took me on home. How many would rather be in heaven tonight than to be here? Amen. How many would rather be running up and down Hallelujah Square praising God than you would rather be here? But you know what? It's needful for the church to be in this world tonight. It's needful for us to stand here. But the symptoms of what has happened in our state and in our country are not symptoms that have just popped up overnight. They're symptoms of a sickness that has been in the world for some time. It's been in our nation for some time. And the problem is it's been in our churches for far too long. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said the righteousness of God is revealed. What's righteousness? It's right living. It's uprightness. It's upholding those things which are pure and true in the eyes of God. Not the righteousness of man, not my self-righteousness. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, says the word of God. There's nothing in me that is good. There's nothing that I can present unto God that is worthy of salvation, but His righteousness, His goodness to me is revealed in His gift to mankind of sending His Son to die on an old rugged cross. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell the lost man that He died for him. Amen. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell the drug addict that He died for him. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell the adulterer that He died for him. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell the homosexual that He died for him. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell anyone that stands in need that Jesus died for him. God sent His Son into the world to save an ungodly world, to deliver us from ungodliness, and I'm not ashamed to stand and tell anybody that Jesus loves them. Amen. We get disappointed and we get discouraged, and we want to pick out some things. And this really become evident as we was talking in our men's group on Wednesday night. And I said, we need to back up here just a little bit. And we just need to realize what's going on. We see that the power of God is given to us through His Word and by His Word. But look at what it says in verses 18 to 24. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now, we had a question on the ballot in Maryland. One of the referendums was on the gay marriage issue, and we want to focus on that. We want to focus our anger at the gay lobby and at the gay crowd and at the gay people. But let me tell you what, the symptoms of what has happened is much deeper than the homosexuality that is prevalent in our nation today. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What does the psalmist say? He says, even the heavens, amen, even the stars, even nature as we look around us, testifies to the goodness and the righteousness of God. It testifies to the order that God has placed in this world and placed upon the earth. It testifies to God's omnipotent power in speaking such a world into existence. And because we have the evidence of nature around us, we don't have any excuses, because we can realize that the world, they can say what they want to. There was a big bang and some frog come out of a mud hole somewhere and man swung from the trees as a monkey and all this junk. You can believe that nonsense if you want to, but my Bible says God spoke and bang, a universe was created. That's the Big Bang Theory I believe in, because I believe in the Big Bang. Amen. I believe when He spoke, things happened. Amen. I believe when He spoke, the universe moved. I believe when He spoke all things in order, and it didn't have to evolve. It was. Amen. That leaves us without an excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, as to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, the symptoms of the problem aren't just one evidence of sin. The symptoms of the problem is man's heart, is man's desire, is what man wants to do and what man strives to do. God let man have his own way. God gave us a free will to make our own decisions. Jesus said, I will that you would have let me come and gather you like a hen does under her wings. He said, but you would not. Amen. You don't want to. You make a conscious choice either to serve God, or you make a conscious choice to serve yourself. He said, when we knew God, how many tonight, you don't have to raise your hand, believe in God. That's all well and good, but praise God, the Bible says even the devil believes and trembles. Amen. They believe God, but they don't want to honor God. Many today say, we believe and we know there is a God, but we want to do things our own way. That's what the problem is. That's what the problem is. That's what the problem was from the garden. Man wanting to do his things his own way. They knew God. They glorified Him not as God. If you believe in God, you'll set Him on the throne of your heart. If you believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, amen, you'll make Him your Savior. You'll ask Him into your heart. You'll ask Him into your life. If you believe that He is God and He is who the Bible says He is, you'll realize who you are before a holy and a righteous God, lost and undone and doomed and on your way to a devil's hell, and you'll give Him the place that He deserves in your heart and your life. The problem is, too many of us have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Amen. Too many of us want to give lip service and not give heart service. And that's what he was saying here. They knew God, yet they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own foolish imaginations. Amen. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We live in a time now when people no longer want to honor God. They no longer want to honor the Word of God. Amen. They no longer want to lift up the Son of God. Why? Because we've become so smart. We have the cable, TV telling us all about God. How many shows have you seen about the Bible? How many shows have you seen about God? How many shows have you seen on TV where they try to bring God down to some level that can be understood? Man, I can't understand God. Amen. I can't comprehend all that is God. But I know that God is love, because the Bible tells me He is. And I know that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that. I believe that. But to comprehend God, I can't do it. And I can't bring God, and I don't need to bring God down to my level to understand Him. I need to understand God for who He is. He's seated on His throne in heaven. His feet rest upon the world, upon this earth as His footstool. And praise God, if He's that big, if He's that omnipotent, if He's that great, I might be ignorant and I can't explain it and I can't understand it. But praise God, I know He saved me, and that's all that matters. Amen. We want educated. We want good looking. I don't know if it was in Sunday school. I was talking about it this morning. I think so. I don't know if it was in the morning service. Brother Craig Edwards had a post on Facebook the other day. He said a survey just come out of what churches are looking for in their pastor these days. Did anybody see Brother Craig's post? They want a man that is between the ages of 30 and 38. They want a man who has a good physical appearance. They don't want an ugly fellow like me. You know, they want a handsome guy like Brother L. You know, they don't want that. They want somebody who is cordial and relates to their young people. They got this whole list of stuff that they want. But in their list, there's nothing about content. There's nothing about where he relates to God. Yeah, it's just like when missionaries and people call me up and they're trying to pray evangelists. They want to come to the church. You don't know how many evangelists call me up. I want to come to your church and be a blessing. I know Dr. So-and-so, and I've been to this school, and I've been to that school. And they go on and on. I said, well, can I ask you something? Amen. I said, you've been going on about everybody. You know, what can you tell me about Jesus? Amen. What can you tell me about Jesus? What can you tell me about what Jesus has done? That's what's important to me. Amen. I don't care who you rub elbows with. I don't care who you hobnob with. I want to know what you know about Jesus and what Jesus is doing through you and through the work that you're doing. That's what's important. But we got to the place where we're so smart we don't want that anymore. We're so smart we don't want a preacher that'll preach anymore. We don't want teachers that'll teach from the Word of God. We want to be talked to. We want to be uplifted and encouraged. Amen. We've got so smart that we know God, but we want to leave God out of the equation. That's what has happened in America. That's what's happened in the state of Maryland. That's what's happened in our Baptist churches. Amen. We've got so smart, we've outsmarted ourselves. How many seen the two Baptist preachers on TV, on the ads, supporting Question 6? Two Baptist preachers supporting Question 6. They said, well, it's not a religious thing. It's about their civil rights. Amen? When the spiritual rights get overwritten by civil rights, then there's a problem. Amen? God has created us each one as individuals. He breathed into each one of us the breath of life. We're alive today because God breathed into man His breath and man become a living soul. I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. And my first priority is what? To honor Him. My first priority is a spiritual. And let me tell you something. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. God, let us have our own opinion. But when the church stands up and starts to using a secular reason to support a God, to support sin, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the Question 6 question. I don't care if it's a question on alcohol. It's your civil right to be able to go get drunk if you want to. Is it not? Amen? That's your right to do that if you want to. It's your right to do anything that you want to do. Everybody has rights in society. And God gives us a free will to do whatsoever we wish and whatsoever we will. But when we get so smart and we get so educated and we get so secularized that we let the will of God take a back seat to the will of man, we have a problem, and it's a sin problem. Amen? It's a sin problem, And it's a sin problem that's just as prevalent inside the house of God as it is outside of the house of God. Amen or ouch. We can view it and we can look down our noses at it and we can look down our noses at everyone else. When we got so smart what thus saith the word of God is supplanted by what thus saith personal theology, there's a problem. And that's what the apostle is trying to show, the progression of sin. We see that in the next few verses. Let's go back to 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped the creature more than the Creator. We're more satisfied. We're more interested in serving the flesh. We're more interested in serving ourselves. Who's the creature? Us. Amen. Who was created? Us. Amen. Who did God make and form in His own likeness and own image? Us. Get that through your head. We are created. We're not gods. And we want to make ourselves out to be gods. And that's just what the devil told Eve in the garden. He said, God knows that when you eat of this tree, you'll be just like Him. You'll be just like gods. And that's what we want to be. We want to be gods. We want to be little gods. We want to make our own decisions. We want to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Sometimes the only part that we want to pull out of this passage of Scripture is these just couple of verses right here. The only thing that we want to suck out of it is this, and look at the issue of homosexuality and how it affects us and how we deal with it in our lives. But God says that's just a symptom of what's been going on. Amen? That's just a symptom of what a little bit of leavening has done. That's why our churches will stand up and proclaim that, well, it's not really that bad. It's not a spiritual issue. It's not a religious issue. It's not a scriptural. Yes, it is. Why is that? Because we've allowed all these other things to take place in our lives, and we want to overlook them. Amen? We want to overlook them. We want to excuse them. We want to make excuses for them. He said, these are the extremes to which sin will take you. A little leavening leaveneth the whole lump. Does it not? Amen. A little bit of sin in your life. A little bit of compromise in your life will breed more compromise. Will breed more compromise. And will breed more compromise. So finally, you've compromised Christ altogether. You're serving the creature more than you are the Creator. The homosexuality isn't the issue. The question number six to me isn't the issue. The issue to me is the underlying problem, the underlying symptoms. They are just the extremity to which it has taken us. They're just the culmination of all these little things. And we like to say, well, God just turned them homosexuals over to reprobate mind. No, He's turned the sinners. He said, against all ungodliness, did He not? He's turned sinners over. He's left sinners in that place to face that issue. Those who reject Him, those who continually reject Him, those who keep going down the path of sin, it might lead some to the depths of homosexuality, some to the depths of drug abuse, some to alcoholism. But He goes on to tell us some other things that we need to mark and we need to understand. Yeah, he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Look at what it says in the conclusion of the chapter. Being filled with all unrighteousness. A symptom. Amen. Underlying problem. Fornication. Well, if we overlook fornication, homosexuality, just another deal. Amen. We had a gang one time out working, and their shift was coming to an end, and the bus driver wasn't nowhere around. They couldn't find him. They tried calling him on the radio. He wouldn't answer. Man, they couldn't find the bus. The bus and the bus driver were missing. So they sent one of the repairmen to go find him. And he found him, and he was over in town, and he ran into a bunch of fellas over there. They were playing basketball, and he decided, well, he's going to get out and play basketball with these guys. And now they got a gang out on overtime. They're paying time and a half, and they can't find the bus driver. And they finally found him about an hour or so later, and he's over in town playing basketball. And he goes back and gets the guys, and they take them back, and they never done a thing about it. This is in the summertime. Now, fast forward. In the wintertime, we're working up in New York in Sunnyside Yard. That's right in downtown Queens, for those of you that don't know. And this same mechanic that had to go and find this bus driver, he's a foreman now. And him and the repairman are working on this piece of machine. And the operators are standing there. They're throwing this football around. And he ain't got time to worry about them. He's working on fixing and repairing the equipment. Well, the train goes by that has the president's car on it, the president of the railroad. President of the railroad, he rides by, and here's all these guys out pitching the football. So they call this repairman foreman into the office, and they commence to chewing him out because he's the foreman on the job. He's the highest ranking man, you might say, on the job. And they commence to chewing him out because these guys are playing football out here instead of working on the machine. And he said, look, I don't know where the foreman is. I'm doing my job. My guys are doing their job. We were working. Yeah, but these guys are playing football, and it's your responsibility as a supervisor to make sure they're complying with our rules and regulations. He said, let me just tell you this. He said, back in the summer when they were down there playing basketball, it was no issue. He said, it's just a different season. It's just a different shape of a ball. What's the difference? That's where we have got to in our churches. Amen. It's just another sin. It's just another thing. I don't want to offend. Rick over here, he's fornicating. No, he's not. I'm just using him as an example. Or he's adultering. Let's put it that way. He's married. He's an adulterer. Joanne don't know a thing about it. I do. But man, he does a lot of work around here. He's a lot of help around here. Well, I'm just going to overlook that. And let it go on. Amen. Old Brother L back here, man, you wouldn't believe this stuff that he's into. But my land, he's a good tither. Amen. And you know, I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm going to, you know what happens? We're overlooking all these little underlying symptoms that have brought us to the place where we're at today. To where two Baptist preachers will get on TV and say that it's not a spiritual issue. It's the extreme to which we've come. But look at all these issues that are listed here. Look at all these evidences of this symptom that's coming on. You understand what he's saying here? We always want to focus on the biggest sin. We always want to focus on something that spotlights somebody else. Do we not? But look at this. Look at these underlying currents. Look at these little bits of leavening that have brought us to the place where a question, an issue like question 6 would even wind up being debated in our legislature. An issue like question 6 would even come and have to be challenged by voter referendum. An issue like question 6 is there because fornication Oh, let's go back, being filled with awe. Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. Amen. Understand it, your sin just as much as their sin. Amen. You might not be a homosexual. Amen. But let me tell you something. If you fall into this category somewhere, your sin is no different than theirs. Theirs is just the extreme to which it has come. Amen. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. That's one that gets most of us. How many of you wish you had a better car? How many of you wish you had more money? How many of you look at somebody else and wish you had what they had? Amen? That's envy. Amen? We can't excuse ourselves. Thou art inexcusable, old man. Amen? Chapter number 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, old man. We'll go back and finish that in just a second. Murderer. Debate. Now, I like a good argument. Amen? I got a friend of mine down at work. You know Maxfield, don't you? Amen? He told me years ago, he said, man, I like to get in an argument. He said, I don't care what side I'm on. I'll take pro or con just to get into it. Amen? Some people argue just for the sake of arguing. Some people are contrary just for the sake of being contrary. Amen? Some people you just can't get along with. That's what he's saying here. I mean, we're always thinking about these big sins. But it's not the big ones. It's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. It's the little things that we allow and the little things that we deal with. Where was that? Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen? You know, we allow all these little things in our lives. And if we allow them in our lives, we're allowing them to creep into our church. If we allow them in our church, they'll magnify themselves in our community. Amen? And in our state. Don't focus on the question 6 issue as much as you focus on the sin issue. You know, we can go back, and I've heard a lot of debate. I listen to a lot of talk radio when I'm driving up and down the road, and I hear people calling, well, the Bible says to kill them homosexuals. Yeah, it also says to kill the unruly child. Amen? Doesn't it? It says you got a child that's disobedient, don't respect their parents. The parents bring them to the priest, and his kid won't obey. You hear that, young people? You got that written down? God says you're worthy of death when you disrespect and disobey your parents. That's the word. That's what the word said. You're worthy to die. Adulterers and adulteresses, you're worthy. Well, virtually any sin that was against God's natural order was worthy of death because their sins against God. Any sin was, I mean, under the law, virtually everything come down to death. Amen? If you sinned against man and your offense was against man, it might not be death, but there would be penalties. You might be repaying for this or that, but if your sin was against the natural order of God and against God's law, the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is death. And you know what? God hasn't changed. The wages of sin is death. And they might not take us out today and stone us. They may not take us out today kill us. Some of the ways that they died wasn't always stoning. Sometimes they were burned. I think for the virgin that fornicated, she was to be burnt, if I'm not mistaken. You know, there are different punishments, but death is still death. They might not take us out and do that, but friends, when we willingly and willfully sin against God, when we willfully reject Him and reject His will and reject His word, the wages of sin is death. We can know all about God, but until we accept Him in our heart as our Savior, the wages of sin is death. We can know all about the crucifixion, all about the empty tomb. We can know all about all these things, but until we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouth and we ask Jesus into our lives, the blood covers nothing. And we're still guilty of sin. When we allow these things into our Christian lives, we're no more worthy to stand before God. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sin, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. And God don't lie. Amen. I've been saved for years, but I'm still a sinner. Turn on over to chapter number 7. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. The good that I would do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. Oh, he gives a great testimony. Look at what he says. Verse number 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Does that sound like anybody you know? Amen? Does that sound like somebody you're right familiar with? Amen? Sounds just like me, I know that. He said, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Why? Because I inherited a sin nature. Amen? I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul said, look, he said, I'm not above it. I'm not beyond it. He said, but I thank God that He's made a change in my life. And though in the flesh, and after the flesh, and because of the flesh, I might sin. Praise God, I got an advocate with the Father. Amen. Praise God, when I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Praise God, I don't have to worry about anybody but me. And you know, a lot of the times we want to focus on the homosexuals in chapter number 1 of Romans. And we forget about focusing on sin. We want to focus on everyone else's problems, but we overlook the sin that's in our own heart and in our own life. We want to focus on everything but where God would have us to be. He says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. How many of you have judged the homosexuals? You call them names and everything else. You know what? Word of God just said spiritually, you're just a homosexual. How many have judged the drug addicts and the drunks when you see them? Starting to be more prevalent around here, but in New York, I worked up there. It wasn't nothing to see 100 or 200 of them in a night when we was working, passed out or laid up somewhere, high or drunk or something else. Their lives just so pitiful, and I mean, they just look so shabby and horrible. And you look on them, and you look down on them, and you look with disgust. You know what the word just said? Spiritually, I'm just like them. You see, we want to separate sin. We want to separate his sin from my sin, her sin from my sin, their sin from our sin. But God said it's all sin, and it don't matter. What's your sins tonight? What's your heart? What's your life? What's that little bit of leavening doing to you? Is it keeping you from being used of God, His glory? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I have homosexuals call me on the phone. Want to know if they come to the church, would it be well? I said, you sure will. Amen. They sure will. Who needs to hear the word of God more than they do? Amen. I hope they come. Amen. If hell's angels wanted to roll in here, praise God. What an opportunity. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what he's done in my life. I'm not ashamed of what he can do in their life. I'm not ashamed to tell others that Jesus can make a change in our heart and in our life. But I'm not ashamed to tell you tonight that your sin is no worse. Then question six. Amen. What did Jesus tell the Pharisaical crowd in John 8? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So we stand on our feet tonight. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder tonight.